Open with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Got some sad news yesterday. Everyone here knows Gary Dunham. They came here for a long time. He died Friday night and passed away. He had Lou Gehrig's disease. Got it and didn't know he was sick even, so we're very sorry for him, his family, his wife, and his sons and his grandchildren. He had grown grandchildren, and very, very sorry for them, and heartaches for them. So you remember Wilma and their two boys, Ethan and Jason? Is it Jason? And they got three. I know that Ethan's got three kids, I think. Jason's got a couple, so. Sad, sad day for them. All right. I'm going to read the 13th chapter here, down to verse 15. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversities, being yourselves also in the body. And that's what us getting under the feeling for Wilma and those kids and grandkids. That's exactly what that means there. They're under a heavy load, and they're bound down by suffering. And remember them. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end or the culmination of their conversation or their life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That should be our conversation. That's our manner of life. That's the faith that we follow. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therewith. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, they took him outside the gate, nailed him to a cross. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, without religion, without tradition, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. With me again to Hebrews 13. Dirk Smith just gave this to me. It says, visitation for Gary is at 1 o'clock today at the Lane Funeral Home. That's in Spencer. And he's going to be buried in Cagle, Tennessee. So 3 o'clock to 1 o'clock visitation today at Lane Funeral Home in Spencer. All right, let's look together here in Hebrews 13. I want to say just a few things about, I want to talk about an altar today. I want to talk about an altar. You remember when we believed in what they call the old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way. You know, yeah, the old-fashioned way was going to an altar. Old-fashioned altar. People would come and they'd gather around an altar. And you know, the whole church sometimes would come, gather around it, and everybody'd pray at the same time. Everybody'd just be praying and hollering and carrying on. And then, you know, and somebody asks you, say, how'd service go? Well, so-and-so came to the altar, you know. And every one of us has experienced that to some degree. Every one of us have. And when God saves us from such traditions and such unscriptural practices, other people come to you and say, they'll condemn you and say, well, they don't even have an altar now. When they took out the altar, God went with it. Like God's in a piece of wood, or God's in a bench or something, or God's up here. And I tell you what, and they ask this question. I've had them ask me this question, and I probably ask you the same thing. How do you get people saved without an altar? How in the world is anybody going to get saved if they ain't got no place to go? If you don't give them a place to go. But look what it says in verse 10. Oh, they have a wood altar made out of wood, but we have a spiritual altar. And look what it says in verse 10. We have an altar. We have an altar. And that altar is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And they that serve the law, those that go under works, those that go under merit, those that go under the law in any way in the world to come before God other than through the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no right to eat or come and partake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that was done under the law, done under Moses, was just shadows. They were shadows. Shadows of good things to come, but shadows don't have no substance to them. But Christ is the substance of those shadows. Those shadows from the Old Testament pointed to Christ, who is the substance of the New Testament, substance of everything under the law. And everything under the law was typical. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the substance. And He is the fulfillment of everything that was typical under the law. I mean, He was typical of the law in the sense that He was all the sacrifices, all the ceremonies, and all the rituals, and even the tabernacle and everything that was in it. The entire system of worship that God appointed for Israel was just typical. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of it, the substance of it, is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. All of it pointed to Him. You know, He's the great high priest. He is one. They had lots of them. He's just one. His body is the greater and more perfect tabernacle than that made with hands, and His is made without hands. And the Lord Jesus Christ, all the sacrifices that was offered under the Old Testament, never put away sin. His one sacrifice forever put away sin once and for all for whom He died. And He's the fulfillment of all the vessels that was in the tabernacle. You take the brazen altar, He's the fulfillment of that. You take the laver where the priests had to worship before they could go in. And there's the golden altar of incense where the incense went up. And the mercy seat. He Himself is our mercy seat. And that Ark of the Covenant where the law was kept and fulfilled. The law is kept and fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. There's three things necessary, and you could tell any Jew this. If you ever meet a Jew in New York City or here or anywhere else, and they talk about going to their synagogue or something, whatever it is, there's three things that you got to have if you're going to approach God. First of all, you got to have a tabernacle. You got to have a place that God Himself appointed to meet you. You got to have a place that God said, this is where I'll meet you. And under the old law, under the covenant of the law, they had one place, the tabernacle. And God's tabernacled among us, we're at, in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God come and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. You got to have a tabernacle. And God said, do it according to the pattern. And the second thing, not only have to have a place that God appointed, but you got to have a priest that God appointed. You got to have a priest. You can't approach God by yourself. Now somebody else got to approach Him for you. And that's why they had a priest. And they had a priest, and they would take the offerings and make the offerings through. And the third thing you got to have is a sacrifice. And so if you brought a sacrifice, the priest offered it, and you had to go to the place God said. And our Lord Jesus Christ is all three of these. Huh? He's the tabernacle of God among men. He's our great high priest, not only to appear in the holy place, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And He is that one final sacrifice to which all sacrifices pointed to. He is that. He's all three of them to us. We come to Christ, that's the place we meet. God meets us in Christ. We have a great high priest. What did he offer? He offered himself without spot to God. That's what he did. And our Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of the altar, and he himself is the altar. You know what he said in Matthew 23:19? He said, "What does the gift sanctify the altar? Does the altar sanctify the gift?" When you bring a gift, you bring a sacrifice to the altar. Does that sacrifice sanctify that altar and make it, the offering itself, make it sanctified? No. It's the altar that sanctifies the gift, the giving. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself has to sanctify us, and He does sanctify us on His blessed altar. He sanctifies us with His own blood. And that's why I said down here in verse 15, look at this. Oh, we come with the sacrifice. We come with a sacrifice. And He sanctifies our sacrifices. It says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, using our mouth to thank Him, to praise Him, to bless Him." And that's what He do. Let's, by Him, we offer. And those who keep the law, the ceremonies, Moses' tabernacle, have no right to receive nothing from God. And Paul told the Galatians, he said, "You that are circumcised, you that are trying to be clean by the law and being accepted by the law, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now you think about that. Christ profits you nothing. His blood don't profit you nothing. His righteousness don't profit you nothing. His sacrifice don't profit you nothing. His intercession don't profit you nothing. Anything about Him does not profit you nothing. If you try to be justified any other way than through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now let me tell you this. Here's my first point. God's people have always had an altar. And every one of those altars picture our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you the first altar mentioned in the Scriptures. Genesis 8:20. Here's the first altar. And all these altars, I'm going to mention a lot of them. In Genesis 8:20, every one of these altars mention in a picture our Lord Jesus Christ and point to Him. Genesis 8:20. God's people's always had an altar, and they all picture our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Genesis 8:20. Now, Noah just got off the ark. He'd been on that ark, and he'd been riding out that flood, and he stayed on that ark a long time for the water to go down. And when he got off that ark, look what it said. Didn't build him a house. Didn't build him a place to live. The first thing he did was this. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And listen to this. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That's the first thing Noah did when he got off that ark, was to build an altar. And I tell you what, in all things, and this shows us that our Lord Jesus must in all things have the preeminence. And that was an altar, you know, and He had this altar of thanksgiving, this altar of praise. And we're only accepted through our Lord Jesus Christ, and our praise is only accepted through Him. And the Scripture said over in Genesis 9:1 that God blessed the sons of Noah. And you know, God only blesses us through His blessed Son. Everything that God did for Noah was because of those sacrifices and that altar. And everything God does for us, He does through our Lord Jesus Christ. And He blesses us because of our Lord Jesus Christ, our altar. Now, Abraham had an altar. Here's the first altar he built. It's when God first appeared to him. He went into Canaan. He left Chaldea, and he actually entered into Canaan. And the Lord appeared unto him. And you know the first thing he did after the Lord appeared unto him? He built an altar to the Lord, and this is what he said. He set up an altar unto the Lord that had appeared to him. And I tell you, beloved, God's ever going to appear to you, ever going to make himself known to you, you're going to have to have this altar. And I tell you, God appeared to him. He said, oh, listen, God appeared to me. I've got to have a worship. God appeared to me. I'm going to worship the Lord. And oh my, bless his name. And it was the Lord, and God only appears to men. God only appears to men. And I know a lot of people think different things, but I tell you, God only appears to men in Christ. And we're in the promised land in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's promises are in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're yea and they're amen. And I'm going to show you another, Genesis 26. Here's another altar. God's people's always had an altar. And all these altars prefigured our Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 26 and 25. This is Isaac. You know, Noah had an altar. Abraham had an altar. And he had an altar continually there in memory. And then here's Isaac has an altar, and we'll go and see that Jacob had an altar. And look what it says in verse 25. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And I tell you, there he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. The altar was the place of prayer. That's where he gathered there to pray. He had an altar and he sought the Lord. And I tell you, as Christ is our altar, God only hears us. God only hears us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He won't hear us any other way. And God only speaks to us, hears us, appears to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our altar. And I tell you, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, at whom the promises were, he erected an altar. You know, God appeared unto him and wrestled with him, and then he built in an altar. And you know when in the name of that altar was, he says, to the God of Israel. That's what he named his altar, God, the God of Israel. And you know when he built this altar? When Esau met him coming back, when he was going back home, Esau had 400 armed men. He said, I'm surely going to die now. I'm going to die. Esau's going to kill me. He's going to slay me. But Esau didn't do that. Him and Esau had a wonderful fellowship, a wondrous thing, but he was saved from Esau. And I tell you, this shows us, after he built that altar, how secure we are, eternally so, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our altar. I mean, there's no way all of our enemies can meet us, but they can't get to us. And God saves us from all of our enemies. And Moses built an altar when they was fighting Amalekites. You remember, as long as Moses held up his arms, they'd win the battle. And when he got weak and they let his arms down, then the Amalekites began to win. So, Joshua and Caleb got on either side of him, held up his arms, and they whipped the Amalekites. And then after that was done, Moses built an altar. And you know what he called it? He says, the Lord our banner. The Lord held us up. The Lord was our banner. That was our banner before the men. That was our banner before our enemies. Israel's victory over the Amalekites is why he named that altar, the Lord's my banner. And only through Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, do we overcome our spiritual enemies. We can't overcome our own flesh, much less a spiritual enemy. Now, second point. So all of God's people's always had an altar. You go through the Old Testament, I've mentioned to you five altars. All of them had something to say about our Lord Jesus. Now, I said, Christ is our altar. Ain't that what it says there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10? Christ our altar. The Israelites' altar was material, made out of stone. Our altar is spiritual. And there was two altars in the tabernacle. Two altars. There was the brazen altar. When you went in the tabernacle, there was a laver there. And those priests washed their hands and they washed their feet before they came, even to that brazen altar. And then there they come and there's this brazen altar. And they would bring their sacrifices to that brazen altar, and they'd build, kept a fire going, continue, and they'd offer their sacrifices, and the fire would consume that sacrifice on that brazen altar. And then when you went into the, before you went into the holy place, the holiest of holies, there was an altar of incense. Little golden altar. And they mixed, every day they'd mix oil and this apothecary and all these spices and things, they'd mix them up, and they kept a fire in it all the time, they'd sprinkle that on there. And what that means is the intercession, the sweet smell that went up in that altar when they kept that altar of incense going, that was the prayers, that was the sweet smelling savor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our Lord is the fulfillment of both of these, and let me show you how it is. The brazen altar had two uses. You use the brazen altar for two things. First of all, to sanctify the offering that was put on it. To make it acceptable. If you offered a sacrifice anywhere else, it was unacceptable. It had to be brought and put on that brazen altar. And so it sanctified it and made it holy and made it acceptable. And the second use of that brazen altar was that it had the ability to sustain the weight of the sacrifice, and also sustain the fire that was on that sacrifice. And bear it up while the fire was consuming that sacrifice, but it never hurt the altar. And our Lord Jesus, He is our altar that sanctifies us. Huh? He is the altar. He's the sacrifice on the altar. And it's by Him that whatever is offered to God by Him is acceptable. And not only is God able to sanctify, but also to sustain it. You know, now you think about this. They had to sustain that when the fire fell on that, when the fire was burning that sacrifice. It sustained that sacrifice and it is able to sustain and not burn, just consume the sacrifice. But the altar stayed there. And He Himself bore our sins, able to sustain our sins. And as a man, He is able to be our sacrifice for us. And He sustained our sins. He sustained our guilt. He sustained our shame. As God's fire and God's wrath fell on Him, He sustained them. Men die, and listen to this. I got this from Scott Richardson years ago. Men die and face the judgment. Christ faced the judgment and then He died. And this is how He perfected forever them for whom He suffered for. Now look over here in Hebrews 10. Look in Hebrews 10, verse 14. Not only did He, you know, be able to bear that sacrifice, and there's a sacrifice of sin offering, sacrifice, but is able to sustain it. And look what He said here in Hebrews 2:14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And not only that, but He sustained us. He sustained our sins. We couldn't sustain them. We can't sustain one of them. But not only did the fire, when God's fire fell on Him, He sustained it. And He consumed the fire. Still the fire consuming the sacrifice on the altar, our Lord Jesus Christ, He consumed that fire Himself. And here's something. That brazen altar was only for Israel and Israel alone. And Christ is only for His elect and His elect alone. You know, it was only for Israel. Well, this altar is only for God's Israel, God's elect. Now let me tell you, there's the altar. There's the brazen altar. And then there's the altar of incense. But look at the place where this altar was. Not only was it a brazen altar and had two things, to bear up the sacrifice and sustain it. And you know when the place of this altar was, when you entered the door of the tabernacle, the first thing you saw right in front of you was that brazen altar. That's the first thing you saw. That's where the altar of the burnt offering was. And there was the laver right to the side of it. And you went past these two before you got to the holy, holy place where the veil separated men from that mercy seat. And at the very beginning, when you first go into that tabernacle, at the very beginning, we learned that there's no approach to God apart from the sacrifice of Christ. And also that labor that was there show us that there is no cleansing apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. No cleansing. We won't be clean. And so that's when you first thing you see, there's that altar. And there's where you wash. And you got to wash. That altar is where you washed. And that's where you accepted of God. And there's where you're cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is just the outer court. That's where the court, that brazen altar. And when you went in there, it perpetually smoked. It kept a fire on it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 360 days a year, 365 days a year. And they'd done that year after year after year, perpetually smoking. And when you went in there, you smelled a sacrifice. You smelled a sacrifice. They had a morning sacrifice, a lamb, and an evening lamb. And during the rest of the time, they was men who felt their sin and their guilt, they would bring a sacrifice. They'd bring an offering. And oh, it perpetually smoked and it smelled and with sacrifice. And beloved, I'm telling you, we perpetually, continually, constantly look to the Lord Jesus. He is the sweet smell and savor to God. And He's a sweet smell and savor to us. Smells good to us. And the way to the most holy place was by this brazen altar. And we can't go where God dwells, and we can't learn of God except through our Lord Jesus Christ, our altar. You know, our Lord Jesus says this. He said, I'm the way. You guys know other way you can come. I'm the way. I'm the way. And I'm the truth. There ain't no truth that you can know about God, know about God's Word, know about yourself, know about sin, know about sacrifice, know about altars, know about self. There's nothing in the world that you can know about truth of God apart from me. And there's no life that you can have. You lost life in Adam. There's no life that you can have from God, from me, or anybody else except I give you that life. And then the next thing he says, that no man, since I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, no man can come unto the Father but by me. But by me. And I tell you, beloved, we can't go where God is until we learn about God from Christ, and He's our altar, and He does that for us. Let me tell you something else about this altar. The altar was four square. This is equal on all four sides. Equal. And equal, the height and the squareness of it was perfect. It was the same height, same width, same length. Everything was good. Perfect. Perfect all around. Even measurement. And the measurement was just right. And everything about our Lord is just right. Perfect. Huh? God ordered this everlasting covenant, and it's assured. And everything about our Lord Jesus and salvation was arranged by the infinite wisdom of God. No imperfection in the Lord Jesus. None whatsoever. No imbalance in Him. No imbalance in Him. There's no excess, like there was no excess on that altar. There's no excess in Him. There's nothing lacking in Him. And that brazen altar had stability and had endurance. And there's an endurance and a stability about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same today. He's the same yesterday. And He's the same forever. And another thing about this altar, there's four horns on it. It had four horns, one on each corner. And that, of course, was to help hold the sacrifices on there. But that speaks of power. That speaks of strength. That speaks of ability. And those horns of power. And what did our Lord say? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Huh? God hath given me power over all flesh. that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He alone has the power to make a man live. He alone has the power to make a man acceptable. He alone has the power to make a man acceptable to God. And I'm telling you this, beloved, a soul acceptable, nothing he does can make him unacceptable when Christ makes him acceptable. There's nothing he can do to make him unacceptable. You say, boy, I've done some awful things. Nothing you can do. If Christ makes you acceptable, nothing you can do can make you unacceptable. Can't do it. You say, well, you don't know what I think. Yes, I do. I'm a man just like you are. And I tell you, when he makes you acceptable, nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever make you unacceptable. And let me show you this. The material that this altar was made out of, not only the place, four square, but the material that they made this altar out of, talking about Christ our altar, is made out of sheetum wood. And it's made out of sheetum wood because sheetum wood would not rot. It would not rot. And that talks about our Lord's sinless humanity. Sinless humanity. I mean, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing, He's perfect, just like that wood would not rot. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sinless in His humanity. And then it had brass. They took that sheet of wood that would not rot, and then they put this brass all over it. Top on the horns of the altar, they put brass all over it, down the boards, everything about it. They covered it up with brass. And this brass kept the wood from being consumed by the fire. And I tell you, it endured day in and day out. So it's made out of wood that would not rot. That's our Lord's sinless humanity. And then it was covered with brass. And that kept the wood from being consumed. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He endured the cross. He endured the shame. He endured our sin. He endured God forsaking Him. He endured God's wrath. And He endured even unto death, bearing our sins in His own body on that tree. Endured the curse of the law. And oh my, oh, we have an altar. We have an altar. And all everything in that tabernacle spoke of our Lord. Then there was this altar of incense. It's made out of sheet of wood too. And then, but it was covered with gold. It's covered with gold. And that's His humanity and His deity. And He, as they offered that incense on there, and it burnt, and it smelled, and it made that place smell so wonderful in there. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He makes intercession for us right now and makes us acceptable. God, when He smells anything that we come to God through Christ in, it's made a sweet savor unto God. It smells so good to God. God says, oh, what a sweet smell and savor that is. And when we think about His Son, what a sweet smell and savor. When we talk about His Son, when we read about His Son, when we come to His Son, when we pray in His Son's name, when we confess in the Son's name, goes up as a sweet smell and savor. Huh? Well, let me ask you some questions. Do you have a spiritual altar? Have you got a place where you can meet God and God can meet you? Do you? Do you have a spiritual altar? Surely you don't think God can be approached by any means or any way but Christ, do you? Huh? You don't think... I was at a place recently where they're talking about this place right here being holy because the gospel's preached there. I don't think this place is any more holy than any place else. It's just a place where we gather to worship and I happen to be the one standing up here preaching. There's nothing holy about this building. There's nothing holy about these pews. There's nothing holy about this... pulpit of wood. The only thing holy in this place is the people that God made holy. There's not any place, building, or pulpit that's holy. There's none. No, this place could burn down. And we're going to stand out there and cry, oh, our holy place is burning down. The only thing holy in this place is the people that Christ has made holy. That Christ has made righteous. And not only do you, surely you don't think any place, building, or pulpit is holy, do you? And you don't think that it's certain postures. You got to get in a certain posture. You got to get on your face. You got to get on your knees. You got to stand with your hands up. You got to do something. You don't think a posture that people have any kind of holiness or humility that'll make you more acceptable. Surely not. And I know this. If we get away from the spiritual, and go to the physical or material in any mode or degree, we get away from Christ. If you have anything physical, anything material that you go to worship, you've left Christ immediately. You left Him immediately. Huh? And I tell you what, it would rob God of His glory, would rob our Lord of His glory. Huh? Second, here's another question for you. Would you dare to offer to God, bring an offering to God without an altar? Would you dare make an offering to God without Christ? Would you dare come to God without Christ? Would you dare come to God without the appointed place to come? The appointed one to come to? Surely you wouldn't come and offer your duties. You wouldn't come and offer your works. You wouldn't come and offer your morality. You wouldn't come and offer your good character. Those are not sacrifices acceptable to God. Only Christ is a sacrifice acceptable to God. And the only place we can offer any sacrifices acceptable to God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. We offer spiritual sacrifices. Look over here at 1 Peter 2:5. Right over to your right. Talking about offering offerings. Everything that we offer is a spiritual sacrifice. We can't offer anything from that we own or possess. Look what he says. Ye also as living stones, 1 Peter 2:5, also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now listen to this. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ our Lord. Huh? Oh, we got an altar. Let people have their wooden altars. Let people come and get around on their steps and let them do what they want to do. Let them worship the way they want to worship. But we're going to come to God on the only place God appointed. Through Jesus Christ our tabernacle. Jesus Christ our great high priest. And Jesus Christ our one and only sacrifice for sins. We're going to come to Him that way. And He, beloved, makes us acceptable to God. His blood sanctifies us. His sacrifice put away our sin once and for all. One place to go. One way to go. One way of acceptance. And that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we thank You for the gospel. Oh, thank You for the truth as it is in our Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed we are to know these things. How blessed to know that our altar is spiritual, that our sacrifices are spiritual, that nothing this flesh can bring, nothing this flesh can do, nothing this soul can do except come to the Lord Jesus Christ, be made acceptable by Him. And Lord, we bring our spiritual sacrifice. We offer a spiritual sacrifice even now. We offer our praise. We offer our thanksgiving. We offer the depths of our heart and soul, we offer ourselves to You. And Lord, You're the only one can make us acceptable. You're the only one that can sanctify us. The only one who can make us where God would hear us, where God would accept us, where we can come into His holy presence. And we thank You that You made us to know this, to believe this, understand this, and submit to it. We bless You and praise You in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.